This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Eddy Ranch, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to talk to the organizers of the WESAC Festival and bring some of the guests in a kind of a, what do they call those, round table forums. We'll bring the guests on, you know, one at a time, some different guests, and we have quite a lineup here. But one by one, we'll bring them in. We've got, just to go through the list here, we're going to have Craig Russell, or USA. He goes by USA, with the Akasha Mystery School. We have Dr. Saul Shea coming on. We've got Susan Weed coming on, and my good friend Michal Ledwith will also be coming on the show. And so we have quite a lineup, and each time, each person will talk a little bit about themselves and, you know, what they'll be presenting at the WESAC Festival, which is, you know, I don't know how long that is going along, but we'll find out more about this. Dawn, are you with us?
I am here, indeed.
Oh, welcome to the show. And Dawn is helping to organize this WESAC Festival. And now, how long has the festival been going on?
This is its 14th year.
And what is WESAC for the people that don't know?
Well, WESAC, as we use it, is actually Buddha's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It is a time when, according to Alice Bailey, the masters and Jesus and Buddha meet on the etheric realm and send a combined blessing down to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And Mount Shasta is the place where the Christ energy and such other energies enter the planetary grid. So years ago, Joshua Stone decided that he needed to do WESAC here. And then when he was ill, he passed it along to me to do. And, of course, you know, since that time he has passed away, so I took it over completely to do.
Boy, you know, with Buddha and Jesus and Babaji and all the masters, you know, having a birthday or whatever, they're kind of hard to shop for, you know. As far as bringing a gift or something, you know, what would you...
The gift is yourself.
Yeah, opening your heart maybe, or becoming what they became.
To continued evolution, mm-hmm. That's what they're after for us. They want us to keep growing and keep learning and keep expanding.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, you know. It's so much better to become the master than worship the master, and that was all of the master's teachings. And
absolutely.
They've got corrupted, and, you know, we have some people that are out there right now that are uncorrupting these teachings and bringing, you know, the ancient teachings forward, and
Michal's one of them.
Doing a great job out there, you know. But I love Michal's work. He's been doing some great job, yeah, great job with that, and his credentials are, you know, impeccable.
He's just a phenomenal man. I mean, he was a counselor to the Holy See, which counsels the Pope. I mean, how high up in religion do you want to go?
Yeah.
He saw the light and said, you know, this is not the truth. They're not telling the whole truth, so he went in search of.
And it is wonderful that, you know, when people really get down to the basics, all the masters are saying pretty much the same thing.
Oh, sure.
And it's a unifying message. It's not a you know, message with divisions in it. And then later on, religions formed and started dividing and, you know, created all these problems from then on. And now it seems like this unraveling is happening, you know, as we speak, and there's all these great teachers coming forward to help in the unraveling process.
I never heard any master actually say, worship me. I heard every master I've ever studied has said, learn to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the message that's now needing to be clarified. The days of us having to be told what to do and led around like children and manipulated, if you will, are long gone, long over. We need to take our power back and learn from people who may know a little more than we do and get ourselves going in the right track. And
yeah, I've always said, you know, the see me, dig me, I'm so spiritual program is pretty much over. You know, it's done with.
Yeah.
And basically, now's the time to do the work. Nobody's going to do it for you. There are people that'll help you and give you some tools and techniques. And there are some wonderful people that are here as examples, you know, that are doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's very important that they bend people inward, you know, to find the master within and make their own personal God connection.
Absolutely.
Now, you've got quite a list. Did you want to go through the list and maybe say something really short about each person, and then we'll bring them on?
Sure. Well, we've already spoken about Michal,
mm-hmm.
who it was in the What the Bleep movie, and the follow-up to that, the Down the Rabbit Hole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he was a Catholic priest, a professor of theology, a college president in Ireland for over 25 years. And now he is a member of the Rompha School of Enlightenment,
mm-hmm.
School of Ancient Wisdom. And he's been a teacher and speaker there for some time now. He's just written a new book called The Orb Phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
He's done a few DVDs on the truth about Jesus and Jesus' life between the ages of 14 and 33. I just can't say enough about him. He's this gentle Irish wit that I just can't stop listening to him. He starts going, and his information is so mind-bending.
It is profound. I think he has the Orbs Project, the video out, and the book and everything. But his information on the orbs is very profound and unsurpassed in that field right now.
Well, he's working on a book, I think, called Forbidden Truth, where he really talks about Jesus and Mary Magdalene and so forth. And a man like him, who's been so close to the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
he has knowledge that we haven't even guessed yet.
Yeah. You know, I've always felt, and this might upset some fundamentalists, but, you know, whenever you talk about Jesus and that he was human and he had a sex life and Mary, you know, Magdalene, he went on and had children, they get so upset because, you know, they castrate him basically in the Bible and pretty much turn Mary and Magdalene into a whore, which is totally opposite of the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, they did everything they could to make him non-human, you know, and make any kind of human energy other than God. You know, it's kind of sad, but when you read, you know, the real teachings, he was often chastised for open displays of affection, you know, and he was very loving and very, he was very much in love with Mary, and he didn't have a problem showing it.
Right. He was trying to bring back the balance of power with women and men. And she was certainly a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
He did not pick a wimp to be his wife.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've always felt, you know, I had a lot of teachers that were actually women teachers, and I've always loved that divine feminine energy. And, you know, a lot of men get into the head knowledge and the intellect and everything, and it just gives me a headache. And so I used to hang around with the women teachers and things like that just because I felt they were more plugged into the feeling nature of Source, which is, it really is a feeling. It's not a mental construct.
Sorry, that's someone trying to call me. I guess they didn't realize I'd be on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got Miho, and then do you want to talk about one of the other guests?
Sure. Susan Weed,
mm-hmm.
who is coming all the way from the East Coast. Susan is a world-renowned herbalist. She's authored many books on women's health. She's a teacher of what's called the Wise Woman Tradition, which
mm-hmm.
is herbal medicine healing, how to make home remedies. And she's founder of Wise Woman Herbals. She's done TV, radio for years and years. And she's just what I call an all-around great gal. She's
mm-hmm.
smart. She's down to earth. She doesn't take anything from anybody, and she doesn't need to.
Great.
And she's been working for women for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean she doesn't like men. It doesn't mean she can't help men with their health. She certainly can.
Mm-hmm.
But her focus has been the woman's side of things.
Yeah.
She's also written a series of 8 articles for the Mount Shasta magazine on how to be your own herbalist. So she's not trying to keep all her knowledge and power to herself.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's all about sharing. And so who's your next speaker you've got on the agenda?
Well, I think tonight we're going to talk to Dr. Saul Shea.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Shea is fairly new to me, but he was a chiropractor for 17 years, and then he became what he calls God awakened, and suddenly God demonstrated to him that he had an unusual gift for healing.
Mm-hmm.
He does workshops, and he does sessions where people are reporting all kinds of miracle cures just from his work. And some of it is incredible. I heard of my neighbor's great-grandson was going into the hospital with a tumor in his chest. My neighbor called Saul and had him to pray for him. And Saul said, okay, the boy's healed. And when the grandfather called the boy and said, you don't have to get the surgery, you're healed, because the boy laughed, of course. But when he went into the room and they cut him open, there was no more tumor in his chest.
Yeah, too bad they couldn't have x-rayed first.
Yeah, well, they did all the x-rays prior to the surgery, but they didn't x-ray right before he went in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the boy just poo-pooed his grandpa. I thought he was just a crazy old quack, you know. Not anymore.
Yeah, it seems like he did something similar to what I did. I actually had a drowning that created my major awakening. I guess he did it through a motorcycle accident. So it proves there's many paths to God.
There are. And sometimes it's just amazing. You never know what's going to wake you up. My own beginning was very strange. I was just dropping somebody off to see a video because my friend had hurt her foot, couldn't drive, asked me to drop her off at this Rumpa video.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, he's a channel. And I said, oh, my God, you don't believe that stuff, do you? But I'll take you there. Dropped her off in, put her in the front row, and as I was walking out the door with my back to the screen, I heard Rampa's voice on the video, and all it said was, greetings, entity. And I was frozen in place. I could not move. I had met my teacher.
Yeah.
It's just amazing things. But we're not talking about me, are we?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people throw a lot of mud at Rampa, you know, but, you know, and Jay-Z had her challenges, you might say, and her things that she was working out.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nobody has brought the wisdom, the science, the physics, everything that he's brought to the table that's gone so far outside the box. It's so far beyond anything. And, you know, I interview some of the top physicists on the planet, and after they're through, I go, boy, you know, they need to go watch this video and get the rest of the story, you know. So
well,
you can't argue with the information. It's just undeniable. It's incredible.
Well, everything he says is backed up by science.
Oh, yeah. And I love that. You know,
there's nothing that can't be proven through science.
But the problem is a lot of the science isn't even on the books yet, so...
Mm. He has been ahead of the curve, I will say that.
Yeah, I mean...
So things that he said in the 1970s are now being proven in the 2000s.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
I think all of the great masters were incredible metaphysicians, and they knew of all the higher physics, but they had to speak in symbols and words that, you know, the people would understand.
You have to talk the language of the people. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have another one, I guess USA or Craig Russell.
Craig Russell. He changed his name to USA.
Mm-hmm.
He is just such a gentleman. I met him years and years ago at a WISOC event, actually, the first time he channeled for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when he opened his mouth to speak for Akasha, who is a lovely female entity, the whole room just shifted, and the energy in the room began to tingle. It was like you could see the light flex in the air around us. So I said, boy, if I ever get a chance, I'm going to use Craig as much as I can.
Yeah.
Well, he came last year, and he said, I really like what you do. So please invite me back anytime. And fortunately, he's coming again this year.
Oh, great. I think one of our first guests we're going to bring on, I'm not sure who they've got lined up, but we'll see.
Okay.
Don, do we have one of our first guests to come on the show? We've got like... Hey.
Who's here?
Yeah, welcome to the show. Hello?
Whom are we speaking?
This is Dr. Shea.
Dr. Shea, welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio.
Oh, very good. Good to speak to you. I've been listening into your conversation, learning a lot. This is being my first time in Mount Shasta.
Uh-huh.
Well, we can't wait to see you. People are getting very excited when they hear you're coming. Our friend John, whom I just spoke about, is singing your praises from the rooftops.
Well, I always say, people, I'm just as surprised as the people I work with.
Really?
Yeah, because I never see what's going to happen.
Well, that's a real gift, that you don't...
Yeah, when I stand with people, I don't see problems. I always sense your energy fields.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like checking batteries. They're either fully charged or they're not fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not fully charged, I ask, can I do something with healing to help them become more fully charged? So it's, to me, everything is an energy field. The organs, the glands, the nerves, the emotions.
So actually, you really don't see a tumor or something else. You just see an energy loss or deficiency.
Yeah, and they... Everybody looks the same in the sense that a person with terminal lung cancer and a person who just ran a mile, their lungs look the same to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fully charged. And of course, because of that, I'm able to stay neutral and I don't judge anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's never really bad. It's not good or bad. It's just an energy field fully charged or not fully charged.
Mm-hmm.
but I think Spirit wants people to participate. So I tell people, yeah, if you have a lot of things you'd like healing for, pick your top three things. The simpler you describe it, the better. God doesn't need the details. Then I check them top to bottom, you know, organs, glands, nerves, muscles, the spine, the emotional body, the mental body, the spiritual centers, old memories in the astral field adversely affecting the present. And I just ask, is it fully charged or not? And if not, can I help it with healing to be more fully charged? And it's like I'm plugging them in, and at a certain point I get, that's all we need at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's done.
Yeah, that's quite a gift. You know, the old saying, you have to become like a hollow bone, you know, to be a worker, you know, of spirit and healing. And it seems like that's exactly, you know, what you're doing, is just allowing, you know, spirit to flow through you and do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, people have asked me, how do you stay neutral so easily? And I said, actually, it was an intellectual decision many years ago that I said, I don't know how this is happening, so I'm getting out of the way. Because somebody else said, I know it's not me. I don't really know exactly how it happens. Some people say, well, how do you go into an altered state? I don't know. I throw a mental switch in my brain somehow, and then I'm there. And when I'm done, I switch it back, and I'm back. Well, I use the word back. I mean, the conscious personality versus that altered state, which actually, I think your altered state is really your normal state, but to use the terms we used to, I just somehow throw a mental switch. How I know it's a mental switch, there was one time I couldn't do it. I had a very bad headache, and I couldn't shift. I had to cancel all the appointments that day and say, I'm very sorry, I didn't know anything could get in the way of the healing. I moved it up the day, the next day I was fine.
Do you think it's, you know, the accident that you experienced, is that what opened the door to this gift?
Well, I started my workshop with that story, but at the time I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then I used to call myself an advanced atheist, and after the accident I still called myself an advanced atheist. But certain things started changing. Before the accident I had a D and an F in chemistry. After the accident I switched from New York to Louisiana and got straight A's for the next five chemistries. That was pretty unusual. Before the accident I'd remember one dream a month. After the accident I'd remember 10 or 20 a night.
Mm-hmm.
So, but my rational mind kept on saying, well, it's peculiar, but I didn't make anything of it until, about 6 years later, I picked up a book which changed my life. That was my opening on my spiritual path, and that was the biography of Andrew Casey, There Is a River.
Mm-hmm.
That book turned my life upside down.
Yeah.
You know, Casey, there was enough logic in Casey's story to enable me to have a bridge back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And once I admitted God was real, everything changed.
Now, they should make Casey a saint. I don't know why they don't christen him.
So,
he has
anyway, that's why
so
I started
people.
Setting my dreams. I started setting my dreams with Casey.
Uh-huh.
So, since 1975, when I read There's a River, I've recorded over 16,000 of my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And the healing actually started with the dream.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. You know, I can't wait to meet you. I think it'll be fun. Hopefully we can all get together and have a dinner or something, you know, with some
well,
of the
other people. We're going to do that if you all are all here at the same time. Did you all come early enough on Friday?
Yeah.
We'll have a meeting and a setting of the energies with all of you.
Yeah, have you had a chance to meet Michal yet?
I think he's talking to you, Dr. Shea.
Yeah.
Oh, do I have a chance to meet him?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think Dr. Shea's new to us.
Yeah.
New to all of
us.
Well, it'll definitely be a delight. Well, you know, I'm really looking forward to meeting you there and, you know, sharing in that WESAC experience. And maybe we can get you on the show again later on and have you on for, you know, a full hour.
Oh, sure. That'd be fun.
And send that healing energy out to everybody listening.
Yeah, because, you know, actually, I haven't participated in a conference since I went to Findhorn the last time, back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do some expos. I haven't done those since the 80s also. So this will be fun. You're meeting the other people.
It seems like there's been a call going out, you know, over the airwaves that, you know, a lot of people that were just kind of backed away for a while, they're being called back into duty, you might say, and all kinds of people are coming out of the woodwork, it seems like, lately.
Yeah, because for the last 15 years, I've spoken at over 270 new fall churches all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a different church every week. We get to meet 45 weeks a year for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I love it.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, we'll definitely have you on the show again, and so we can go a lot deeper into the work that you're doing.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a great evening.
All right, you too. Good night.
Good night.
Okay, we've got another guest, hopefully, hanging on the line here.
I'm going to change phones.
Hello.
Hi. Who do we have?
So far, no one. We're interviewing Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Casper the Ghost. Well, he wasn't officially invited, but he's always welcome to be here because he's such a jolly little soul.
Yeah.
He always means well for everybody.
You know, that movie made me cry when the mother reappeared.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I just got such a hit off that. I just went, oh, my God. You know, this is like intense, you know.
Hello?
Is this Susan?
This is Susan Weed. Hello.
There she is.
All right. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we're covering, you know, all the speakers that are coming to WESAC, and I understand that you have quite the herbal knowledge that you're going to be sharing with people and probably a lot of spiritual knowledge to go with it.
Well, it's certainly something that I've been interested in for a good long time.
Yeah, a good long time, like the 60s or something. Like
yeah.
Yes, indeed. I have women coming up to me now and saying, my mother used your childbearing yearbook when she was pregnant with me, and I just used it to have my baby.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great when
really
you have
wonderful.
Something that lasts like that.
Yeah, very wonderful to see the generations rolling on in that way.
That's the book, Wise Woman, Herbal for the Childbearing Year. Is that it?
Mm-hmm, that's it.
It's in its 29th printing, Jane.
Wow.
Actually, by now, about the 32nd.
32nd printing. Oh,
yeah, we're just,
we
I just called for, I just called for a quote. It's due for reprint.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have books that people find easy to use and that they find that the remedies really are inexpensive and effective. And of course, to my mind, herbal medicine is people's medicine.
Yeah.
It's not something that we want to set up like colleges of herbal medicine or have licensed people.
Well,
as a matter of fact, I've fought very seriously and will continue to my entire life against any kind of licensure of any kind for herbalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always agreed. I worked for about 7 years with a German biophysicist, and it was just amazing, the formulas. And he used all natural things, but he created them in a way that they were so potent. It was just amazing. And he used to always say that, you know, food is your medicine, you know, and learn about the herbs and things like that. And this guy's got like 9 degrees and I don't know how many PhDs he's got behind his, you know, his name, and you know, eventually it all ends up going back to nature, basically.
It does indeed end up going back to nature.
Uh-huh.
You know, I read that the average American spends about $100 or $120 a month on supplements.
Mm-hmm.
And your more new-age American spends between $250 and $300 a month on supplements.
Wow.
And yet the largest meta study ever done, which looked at the supplementing habits of 87 million people, including people from as young as 6 months to as old as 96, and about 60% of the studies in this meta study were sponsored by the vitamin and mineral industry, found across the board that taking supplements brings earlier death.
Really?
Absolutely. Food is your medicine. Supplements are drugs. So you can drink a quart of nettle infusion every day for less than a dollar a day. And you will get more nourishment from that quart of nettle infusion than any amount of pills you can take. There's more protein in that than there is in, 15 or 20 pounds of blue-green algae.
Wow.
And it's assimilable protein, whereas from the blue-green algae it isn't. The minerals in nettle, and it's very rich in nettles, a single cup of nettle infusion has 250 milligrams of calcium.
Okay.
And those minerals are magnetized into the blood.
Wow.
Because they carry an opposite valence.
How do you go about getting this? Do you have the information on your website? Or?
Absolutely. You can go to any health food store or buy over the web dried stinging nettle.
Mm-hmm.
You weigh 1 ounce of it out, put it in a quart jar, fill the jar to the top with boiling water, screw a tight lid on it, let it sit overnight, strain it out, and drink it.
Mm. Yeah, we've got a lot of not stinging nettles, but thistles.
Mm-hmm.
And
thistles and stinging nettle are not related.
Mm-hmm. What could I do with those? I mean, I have a field full of them, and we're trying to get rid of them so we can plant something else.
They must have some constructive reason for being there.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's take a look at the thistle. One of the things that we notice most of all when we come in contact with this thistle is that it's sharp and thorny. And something that's sharp and thorny tells us two things. First of all, it tells us that it is not poisonous. Because if it was poisonous, it wouldn't need to be sharp and thorny, would it?
Mm-hmm. Huh, that makes sense.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Poisonous plants tend to be smooth and shiny.
Sneaky little devils.
Indeed. They don't need to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as we see all these sharp thorns, we can say, oh, ho, ho, look at that. That's an edible plant.
Okay.
And this is true all the way up to the deserts. The thornier the plant, the more edible. So, the second thing that we can tell by the sharp thorniness of this is that it's going to stand its ground even when there's grazing animals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the usual situation is this. There's a piece of land that perhaps at one time was forested, and it was cut and opened up as pasture. And too many animals, or perhaps for too long, were pastured on that land. And eventually thistles began to grow there and grow more and more numerous because the animals wouldn't eat them. Does this have any relationship to the piece of land you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, I have an irrigation ditch and they just come right down the ditch, and there's a farmer here that's growing them. We're surrounded by herbal farms up here. It's a wonderful valley, and so it's it's really nice.
So is it milk thistle that's in your ditch?
Yeah, and well, there's also dandelions because they grow them for the restaurants.
Of course, the seeds of milk thistle are a really incredible medicine.
And
especially if you wanted to keep it from receding, it would be, you know, beneficial for your control of it to harvest the seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And the seeds are tinctured, and it's a tincture that prevents damage to the liver from poisons.
Oh.
Mm. So long as it's taken before the poison. So I jokingly say if you're going to go out and get drunk, take some milk thistle first. But on a more serious note, if you're going to take chemotherapy, take some milk thistle first. Or if you're working in a chemical, a plastics industry, take some milk thistle before you go to work.
That's a good idea. You know, that would probably definitely help with these chemtrails you're bombing us with.
Oh, my.
There you
go.
Yeah.
We get a lot of that in Mount Shasta.
Yeah.
Oh, we do here. It's like we just got our dose here the past 3 days. It's been phenomenal. Everybody's sick. It's they just really bomb the hell out of us up here.
Mm. What are they bombing for?
Well, it's the government, they're doing some aerosol spraying And the things that they're spraying are not pretty. It's like ethylene dibromide and aluminum oxide and barium and all kinds of things in the upper atmosphere. They're trying to create a cloud cover to reflect some of the sun back, but it's very, very toxic what they're up to.
Wow.
They think they're trying to help, but they actually are not helping. They're hurting.
Yeah. But hopefully, maybe we can talk later at the conference and put together a nice little herbal formula that'll counteract all that.
Well, actually, what I find is that if you're drinking your nourishing herbal infusions on a daily basis, that although you may notice things like that, they aren't going to really knock you off balance.
Yeah.
As you know, I did talk about three traditions of healing. The scientific tradition, which measures and then fixes the broken machine. The heroic tradition, which tries to cleanse toxins out of the filthy temple. And the wise woman tradition, which nourishes the inherent perfection of each being. So this idea of nourishing is very different for many people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have been more thinking of themselves as garbage removal services rather than purveyors of nourishment.
Mm-hmm.
And it is truly my experience that when we offer optimum nourishment to any body, that body responds by growing into its most perfect state.
Mm-hmm. And all of this you're going to cover in your talk at Mount Shasta.
Yes.
We're going to give her the time she needs to say whatever she wants to say.
Great. Awesome. Well, I'll definitely be in the audience there.
Okay. You're going to be talking there too, yeah?
Yes,
And what's your topic going to be?
Oh, it's interdimensional mind and covers everything from the masters to UFOs to, you know, other planes and dimensions. And we have a hot spot here. It's amazing. It's a vortex where the sanctuary is. And if you just take a camera and shoot it around the property here, you get these, you know, immense beings walking around, just pure energy and light beings. And we have probably one of the, it's an internationally known UFO hotspot where they buzz us on a regular basis and come in and, you know, light up the skies. And
well, maybe that's what's making everybody sick, all the fumes from those UFOs.
Yeah.
And here you are blaming the government.
No, they don't use diesel, man.
Yeah, they don't have fuel, actually.
A lot worse, let me tell you. Oh, my goodness. Talk about high-tech pollutants.
Yeah. No, they're fuel.
Oh, you know, the higher the tech, the worse the pollutants.
They work in mind.
Yeah.
Pulling your leg, James.
It's like the Star Nations are returning, basically. Basically, they are returning because we have gone so wacko with our tech and what we're doing to each other and the planet. And so now they're part of this process that we're undergoing, this grand awakening.
Well, as you can see, WeSoc covers many, many topics.
Mm-hmm.
How lovely. How exciting.
We want to appeal to a broad base of people who come here. They come to be with the mountain and they come to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And this time of the year, the spring full moon is one of the best times to come here because the energies are all in alignment for learning and growing.
Mm.
Definitely.
Have you been here, Susan, to Mount Shasta? I know you come to California sometimes.
A long, long time ago.
Oh.
I went to UCLA in the 60s.
It was such a beautiful place.
Yes, and so it was all up and down and throughout California. And then, actually, after I left California, my parents moved there. Then my brother moved to San Francisco. So I've always had wonderful reasons to be there.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place. Well, thank you so much, Susan, for coming on the show. Again, we'll maybe set up another interview, if you wish, you know, later. It's called As You Wish Talk Radio, so it's up to you.
As you wish, as you will. Uh-huh. Green blessings. It's been a delight. And, yes, I'd love to talk with you again.
Great. Yeah, I know you have a lot of wisdom to share, but unfortunately we have a round table and we have one speaker after another coming on.
All right. That sounds great.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we'll have you back on real soon.
Okay.
All right. Have a great evening. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
All righty. Looks like Michal's next, maybe. We'll see if we can get Michal on the line.
See who'll be there.
Pull him away from his book that he's working arduously
he's
on.
He's editing a new book. He's had his head in the books all day. Be happy to chat a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's the kind of guest you don't know where to start.
He knows so much. I mean, where do you start?
Exactly.
He's done so much, and he's so quiet about it. He's not one of these people who wears everything on his sleeve.
Oh, we have Craig. Okay.
Hello, beautiful Craig. Who's that?
Hello, Craig here.
Hello, this is James Gill with As You Wish Talk Radio. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks very much. Nice to be on.
Yeah, I understand you're going to be one of the speakers at the upcoming WESAC Festival.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to returning to WESAC again and hopefully making a contribution.
Hopefully.
Great. Now, I understand you channel a couple beings, I guess one by the name of Akasha and the other one Asun. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Asun, yeah. Yes, that's true. They are two of the great ascended hosts who are contributing to the great awakening that's happening on the planet at this time.
Great. They're adding their consciousness to the grid, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. And giving us really critical information that's, I think, preparing all of us for the great changes that are instrumental over these next 5 years to 2012.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit of that on the show? I know you're going to talk about it in your presentation, but it would be great to... Although we don't have a lot of time, but I'd love to cover some of that on the show here.
Sure. Gee, what comes to mind right now is I feel that there's a huge gestalt in consciousness shifting up in 2012 where we're really ready to understand perhaps more of the nature of ourselves in this reality. And one of the great focuses that they're speaking into right now is our light bodies, about how long time before thoughts become things, that everything is really an energy pattern, and how we in consciousness can begin to work with the energy pattern of a thing much more effectively in terms of articulating wonderful changes in the world of appearances and manifestation. So working with energy forms rather than the substance of the forms is a great part of the discourse, I believe, that will come through at WESAC.
Mm-hmm. So it's working from the top down and
I think that, you know, in all this process of awakening and healing and trying to make change happen, you know, we're all on this journey where I think that we come back to living from the inside out, yet realizing that we're still trying to affect change from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in this big leap in consciousness, they want us to examine the process. How does a thought become a thing? And realize that one of the big missing links that is still before us is to realize that everything first is an energy pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And how we can interface. Is there a point of light in any energy pattern that we can interface with? And change the energetic pattern, which subsequently would change the manifestation of a thing, including ourselves.
Yeah, it seems like we're getting a crash course and shifting from reactionary mind, where we just react to the universe and what's happening around us, our social consciousness, you might say, and creationary mind, where we pull back and become the observer and start creating the world in which we want to experience.
Yeah, I think you just said it right about being the observer, you know, where we're articulating. Sometimes I think, you know, we're all gods in training.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to understand, you know, how do we affect the world of ourselves and our reality around us. And we're really ready to go inside that and understand how the pineal gland, the pituitary body, how our thoughts are part of instant conception, where we as artists can conceive and realize that every thought feeling we conceive instantly creates patterns of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And how those patterns of energy ultimately become our bodies, our manifestations. And maybe if we connect with the energetic pattern rather than the substance of the pattern, I think here is where we're going to see some incredible shifts for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting, and I think that there are many intelligent minds on Earth today and that are putting all these pieces together. It's just, I think, although there's a lot of tragic things in the world, I think it's the most exciting time to be on this planet.
I think it's awesome, the work you're doing, because people, you know, you're bombarded all day by social consciousness and TV, and all these programs are running on who you need to be and how you need to find love and acceptance and joy outside of yourself. And then, you know, there's people like you and other people out there that are saying, look, you know, this is a process that comes from within. It's not external, and it's time to go within and start becoming your own, you know, Lord God of your being, not being, you know, sucker punched by all this other energies afoot.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, in a way, we're all being invited to step into that mastery. And yet to do so, we kind of have to understand the engine. We have to understand the mechanics of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that, I think, you know, some of the masters say that the closer we come to that awakened state, the more it dawns on us the simplicity of all this knowledge, and that we're really on a great path of discovering, not so much learning, but discovering.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the capacity to develop what we discover, and I think that's where we find our empowerment, and we step back into being real sovereign individuals again.
Yeah, I think I heard one thing. They talked about the intellect as being a drop, you know, in the sea of consciousness. But so many people are focused on the intellect, and they create all of these constructs and hierarchies and lowerarchies and, you know, all of these elaborate teachings and everything. And one of the lamas I studied with, I love what he said. He said, you know, the reason there's so few enlightened beings on this planet, he says, it's because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just need to shut up and sit down and focus on love and joy and bliss until you become it, you know.
Yeah, the power of the attention to focus on those things. And I think sometimes with the intellect having a very disobedient servant, being the altered ego,
mm-hmm.
Loves to persuade everything or make us believe everything is complex.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we dawn on that simplicity and know that we're spiritual beings and that we do have a hierarchy to our being that we can turn to for that guidance so
mm-hmm.
that we can really come to understand who we are, why we're here, and get on with the great journey again.
Oh, definitely. It's pretty amazing that the shift that we're undergoing right now, and it's fun being a part of that, you know, and helping, you know, add to that shift in consciousness.
Yeah, and I hope also, you're right, and I hope also that at WISAC they'll speak a little into what we're seeing out in the world, the collapsing of old archetype energies
mm-hmm.
that are based upon the old family of fear and those few individuals, the real few that have controlled humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And those institutions that come from those old archetypes, type energies are collapsing. We're seeing them happen in America, all around the world. And you kind of have to stand out of the way and let them collapse and trust that there's an intelligent mind, there's a heroic being within every human being that is just waiting to step up and create wonderful new forms of capitalism and democracy
mm-hmm.
that really don't exist on the earth today.
Yeah, exactly. I've been telling people, look, there's a downward spiral and there's an upward spiral. And the old archetypes and programs, the ones based on competition and greed and the me programs are all collapsing right now. And we have to, like you're saying, step back and let them go and focus on, you know, the new world and start creating a whole new system, because pretty much the old system has just outlived itself. It's outdated and it really needs to collapse. It needs to go away.
Yes, and I think that's literally, I think that's the essence of these really important, whether you look at the Mayan calendar or whatever you look at, these last critical years, 2008 to 2012, one of the ways that I look at it is that these are the last 5 years that we get to put everything into place so that a real new world that unfolds come 2013 has an incredible foundation to unfold from. Mm-hmm. So another way of looking at it is that I see that these next 5 years are those years where we, if there is a divine plan, then there are certain pieces inside ourselves that need to come back into alignment so that that greater plan to raise humanity can move into place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real exciting time. But everybody's getting it. You know, agnostics, people without faith, people with without religion. It seems that all the light is asking for is good constructive minds and good constructive hearts. Because I see architects, doctors, engineers, I see people in all walks of life who are getting very important keys. I think the future is so important that they're not going to put it in the hands of any one of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm seeing the same thing here, and that's why I actually put all my time and energy into this sanctuary here. It's a 70-acre, you know, retreat center, and we're aligning with the higher consciousness and energies. They're already here on the land. It's anchored in here. And people are coming here and just blowing wide open and having all kinds of major events. And, you know, the mountain here is almost a sister to
Mount Shasta.
When I show people pictures of Mount Adams, they go, oh, that's Shasta. I said, no, it's not. You know,
where's that located?
It's in Washington. It's right on the border.
Washington State?
Yes. It's east of the Cascades.
Nice.
And it's about 2,000 feet. It's a beautiful little valley, Trout Lake, Washington, and then right.
That's not far from Vancouver, Canada.
No, it's not. Matter of fact, we have quite a few Canadians here today.
It's right in the middle between both of us, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. I mean, we do four large events called conclaves a year, mm-hmm. two in Vancouver, one in Edmonton, and one in Montreal. And we like to do them at very large retreat centers. And, you know, one of the great advantages of that is I think that we are creating an awakening consciousness within the larger mass consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great things about that is because we have to know why we're doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And creating that more awakened consciousness within the larger mass, it's like creates a membrane in which we are protected. And because there are a lot of horrific thought forms that get into people's consciousness, and it's fear that makes those thought forms act out. Mm-hmm. So in a way, we have to do everything to strengthen our consciousness.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
that's part of what WeSuck is all about as well. I mean,
yeah.
I view, since WeSuck happens in spring, that wonderful spring full moon, I kind of look at it almost like the sort of spiritual new year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are coming here to be renewed.
Oh, definitely.
They've been through their year of up and down and learning and trying to heal and trying to expand their minds. And then they come here to be with people of like mind.
Mm-hmm.
And one moment they get a good sigh of, I'm with people who understand me and who are going in the same direction I'm going. And they're getting new information to take back home with them for the rest of the year. So when they go home, they feel rejuvenated in body and mind, soul. I mean, they have a clearer head, clearer heart. They're more sure of their purpose. And they have some new ideas, some new tools, and new friends to bring with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's the purpose of all of our spiritual gatherings.
Yeah.
Now,
we've got to get Michal on here. We're almost out of time. So, Usa, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and definitely we'll have you on the show again.
Well, I sure am looking forward to connecting with you and Don, and it's just been great to just to feel your energy, and I just love to participate in any way that you'd like me to.
Great. Well, we'll be in touch.
All right. God bless.
All right. You too. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, hopefully we can pull Michal away from his extremely busy schedule.
Is he there?
Get him on the line.
Well, we should tell people that WeSuck is May 16th to 18th.
Yeah, definitely. May 16th to 18th, and we're going to have an awesome time, and there's going to be a lot of people coming.
Yes, and if they buy their tickets through you, James, through your site, they can get them for $250 instead of $300 for the weekend.
Oh, great. You've got that set up?
Yeah, I will send you the link, and you can put it on your page.
Yeah.
Hello?
Neil, are you with us?
I am indeed.
Hello, Father.
How are you, Dawn?
I'm wonderful.
I'm just getting on to a landline here.
Okay. Hopefully we can. Can we turn that line up a little bit? I don't know if we can. I can barely.
I can't hear either.
You can't hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
So how are you?
I'm very well. Is that Dawn? It is?
Yes, it is.
How are you, Dawn?
I'm doing well, Father. Can't wait to see you again.
We're looking forward to being with you very soon.
Yes, indeed.
You know, unfortunately, at the Palm Springs event, when you changed your presentation there, it was exactly at 8 o'clock, which we are at, you know, now for my show, and I had to do my radio show. So, I watched everybody walk out just with their minds blown.
That was something like when they walked out of yours.
Yeah.
It was
that
very,
was what happened. You know?
It was a very good conference. I was really pleased with the sort of intent and understanding that people had. There was no fanaticism or way out stuff. They were really very, very seriously interested in what orbs had to tell us about reality and ourselves and so on. And of course, it dovetailed perfectly well with what you were saying, James.
Mm-hmm. Now you've got now you're working on you have another book out now. You have the Orbs Project.
Yes.
And then now is the video the same?
The video, well, we're working, the video, no, the video is not the same as the book. It's meant to be a companion to the book, but it's not the same. There's a lot of material in the book that's not in the video and vice versa. So it's meant
to be... Does it go under the same name, the video?
No, the video goes under the name Orbs Clues to a More Exciting Universe.
Oh, okay, great.
And it's been out for about 5 weeks, but we're now doing the foreign language versions of it actually this weekend. So hopefully it'll be available in at least 5 or 6 languages more.
Yeah, we have the book here and then we showed the video and people are just same thing, you know, when we show people here that come over that we have it laying there, you know, on the table, you know, and people grab that one. They grab Contact Has Begun and then the Orbs one and then they usually grab Jay-Z's, you know, UFO in the Brain and walk out of here pretty enlightened, you might say.
I love to see their faces when they've done that.
Do you then have the Clues to the More Exciting Universe Orb DVD already?
No.
Yeah, I do have one, but I definitely want to... Last time I talked to you, I guess you were kind of out of them or something.
Yeah, they all sold out very quickly, so we did another replication, and that's almost gone. Mm-hmm. And the next one we'll be doing will be the one with the languages.
Yeah, I definitely wanted to get those and maybe get them up on our website and help promote those. And,
sure, that would be wonderful. Yeah, thank you.
And, you know, we'll connect again. I know you've been super busy. I've been as well, but we'll get together and get that all
fantastic.
Hooked up.
That's wonderful.
But, I love your work. I mean, I can't say enough. There's times with the work I've been doing because I've been kind of bashing, you know, the nonsense in Christianity and trying to bring out the truth of it.
Yeah. Get
people expanded, and then when you came along, I just had a big sigh of relief going, the Calvary's here, finally.
Yes, you,
not alone.
You decided to hire a subcontractor.
Yeah. Well, next time around, you know, you go first. I'm sure you were there doing the same thing when I was,
I'm looking forward to your session in July, James. It's just before I go to England for the Glastonbury conference.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really looking forward. The last 2 years when I was down there were really great experiences.
Mm. Yeah, we had some of the speakers kind of got turned upside down, especially Brooks Agnew. He got, you know, hit with the big beam from the mountain.
Right.
And turned his whole world upside down.
Oh, dear.
But in a good way, you know, from then on, he was just on this incredible spiritual journey. It was amazing.
Fantastic. Oh, that's good. That's great, yeah.
I love what he had to say. He says, I'm a physicist. I use instruments to measure things. I don't use my body. to take on data, you know. And he said, boy, they downloaded me with so much information. He said it, you know, took him 3 or 4 days to where he could even talk about it without, you know, getting tears. It was such an incredible experience.
Oh, yes, I remember. I was there when he was talking to you about it, and it was phenomenal, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to put you in that room next, facing the mountain.
Okay.
But you'll probably beam the mountain. You'll probably wait those guys up in the mountain. Who knows?
I think the mountain knows when Miha's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what, Don? The people here around this area, James was up here, unknown to me, unfortunately. I didn't know until it was all over, but they're still talking about it. I mean, they had an absolutely overflow attendance at the Elm Library. It was packed out, and I said to someone, I was so sorry, I didn't know it was on. I would have been there. And she said, no, you wouldn't have got in because there was room for one single more person.
Well, I'm so happy I'm having both of you here at WESOC then.
Oh, yes. I'm
promising to be a wonderful event so
it
far.
Will. Yes, mm-hmm. I was just looking at the whole line out there this morning.
Well.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome event.
Yeah.
We're going to put definitely a big ripple in social consciousness.
Well, that is the intent.
I know.
Stir it up and see what happens.
But I've just been noticing, you know, there's a huge shift happening. I think I mentioned this to you in Palm Springs, James.
Mm-hmm.
There is a huge shift happening in people, you know, people who couldn't even remotely be called on a spiritual path or any sort of seeking at all, but everyone is realizing that the ground rules have changed, that we're in a new time, the things that people thought would never happen are happening. And, you know, there's so much concern about the ice caps melting and everything, which no one can deny anymore. And everyone is, and I'm pleased to think that they're not alarmed or fearful, that it's a very different attitude. Because
mm-hmm.
as we all know, you know, if you get into fear and dread, you're going to go down for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're realizing, and Oprah and Eckhart Tolle are helping with this event that they've been doing online, that
definitely.
The shift has to come from within. It has to be a shift in each individual consciousness in order to shift this entire thing.
I think it's time to see Michal and Oprah.
You know,
we've run out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, dear.
I'll definitely have to get you back on the show on that exact subject, you know.
I'd love to come back. Thank you for the invitation tonight, James.
Yeah, and we'll do it again when we can have you on for a lot longer.
Excellent. Okay.
All right. Well, have a great evening.
Have a great evening, James. You too, Don. Take
care.
We look forward to seeing you both soon.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, our time's up, and don't forget WESAC 2008, May 16 through 18. We've got links on our site. There's links on the radio station site, too, so there's no reason for you not being...